Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first ever episode of Jets Wired, a podcast that covers the New York Jets. I'm your host, Tyler Calvaruso, joined alongside my co-host for this week, Gary Phillips. Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Kylie. Good to get this podcast going. We got training camp started. We got the NFL season almost here. Now Jets Wire's got a podcast.
Yeah, it's nice to get this show on the road finally. It's been in the works, but I'm happy to be talking to you this week. So just a little background. I've been working at Jets Wire for, this is my second year covering the Jets. I joined up in October of the 2016 season, Gary, was it?
I think that sounds right.
Sounds good. Yeah, I've been here for, feels like, forever now. Elsewhere, I cover college football and college basketball recruiting for 247 Sports, and I'm the sports editor at the Setonian Seton Hall student newspaper. Gary, you're into a lot of other stuff. What are you up to these days?
Well, I'm the managing editor of Jets Wire. This is going to be third season now, I'm pretty sure, in that position. And then in addition to that, I'm writing a lot of baseball at Sporting News and The Athletic. I contribute. I'm also a podcast host over at Locked On Yankees, so a lot of different things going on with me. Always trying to stay busy.
Now that we have introductions out of the way, let's get right into the good stuff. There's finally some hope surrounding this team heading into training camp. You got a good mix of veterans, young talent, and bottom line, you guys are hungry. You know, there's a lot of competition at a lot of different positions. We'll get into that shortly. Specifically at the quarterback position, everyone's going to have their eyes on that. Gary, how are you? What kind of vibe are you getting surrounding the team heading into this season?
It's kind of weird. It's positive.
It's a really
foreign concept. Like, I'm not quite sure how the Jets pulled this off, where they have their fans hopeful and the future looks bright, and you know there's confidence even heading into camp that this could be a fringe playoff contender. It's weird to see things so upbeat and happy-go-lucky around the Jets this time of year, but just in general also.
Yeah, definitely. I was down at training camp last year, and even last year, you know, the team knew what it was going to be, but the guys are really upbeat. And this year now, there's some substance to that upbeat attitude that they're going to have going into camp. But, you know, we talk about all this hope heading into the season, and then you have the news today with Rashard Robinson suspension, and it's hard not to think same old Jets.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always going to be some negatives when it comes to this team. And, you know, it's the second suspension in just a few days now. Robinson obviously joins Ardarius Stewart. And you just wonder, like, Todd Bowles has been working so hard on this culture change now since he came into New York. But there still seems to be this tolerance for these misdemeanors or this off-the-field trouble, you know, whether it's Robinson, whether it's Stewart, whether it's, you know, Chris Herndon, a rookie getting a DUI, whether it's Dylan Donahue, a second-year player, Robbie Anderson, he's been cleared of most of his legal trouble, but, you know, even the non-legal stuff, like last year with Muhammad Wilkerson and even Darren Lee once being tardy, like, you preach this culture change, you Todd Bowles, but at the same time, there's just so much nonsense and negativity that is tolerated, and it does become a distraction when it just keeps piling up like this.
Yeah, and you know, a certain stigma becomes associated around the team that, hey, this stuff is going to be tolerated to a certain extent. But you know, back to Robinson for a second, it's really a shame what's happened with this trade. McCagnan has done a good job finding guys on the trade market or on waivers who come in and produce, but Robinson really has been the one guy who's come to New York and hasn't had much success. His first month with the team, he had problems getting on the field, struggling to learn the playbook. And now all this, it's really the first trade that McCagnan's missed on.
You know, it is, but at the same time, you look back at it when it happened, and it's kind of like, what did you expect? I mean, this is a guy that had a checkered past going back to college. He was struggling on the field in San Francisco in his second season. A fourth-round pick that 49ers, their new regime, just completely gave up on a year later, that should be a red flag. Certainly not a guy that you're giving away a fifth-round pick for. And yeah, you can say it's a late-round pick, but, I mean,
every pick has value.
Every pick has value. Every pick, you never know where you could find a steal or a gem in the draft. And it was clear that this kid just had problems on and off the field. And now it's going to be a lost asset.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, taking a chance on a player who had red flags coming in. The Cavs did it again recently with Brandon Bryant signing him after the supplemental draft. Were you surprised that he took a shot on another player who hasn't checked the test?
It goes back to what I was just kind of saying about, like, what's tolerated, what's encouraged, what are they looking for? And I think, don't get me wrong, I think people deserve second chances in most instances. I mean, everything's a case-by-case basis, but I'm not against second chances, generally speaking. But like you were saying, it becomes sort of a reputation, a stigma around the team. And I don't think that's what you want, especially when you've got a roster with so many young players where, you know, you go back through years of organization history and that has been the reputation and not one to be proud of. And Bowles is clearly trying to change some things and change the mindset, and he's done a really good job when it comes to the on-the-field attitude. And, you know, the team was definitely more competitive last year than their talent should have allowed for. But when it comes to this off-the-field stuff and the extracurriculars, there's got to be, you know, stricter enforcement of what is and isn't acceptable.
You know, moving forward, we're going to have to keep an eye on the Robinson situation because we don't even know if he's going to make the team. If anything, I saw this brought up today. This might buy him some time when it comes to making his team, because he's not going to be able to play the first four games.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think he was going to make the team to begin with. So now the Jets are in no rush to make a decision. This might actually be good for him, give him a little extra time in training camp to audition for whether it be New York or some other team that wants to take a flyer.
You know, we've spent so much time already talking about the negative stuff. Training camp kicks off tomorrow. Let's get into the good stuff. We got to start off with the quarterback position. McCown, Darnold, Bridgewater, all eyes are going to be on it. Gary, what are you feeling getting around surrounding that position battle?
Again, just a totally foreign concept. Like, all three of those guys are capable. You know, it wouldn't shock me if either is the starter. Like, we're excited to see all three of them play in camp in the preseason. It's just really weird. It's like, you know, the Jets have entered complete opposite mode when you look at the rest of their history, and especially the last few years. But on a serious note, it's fun. It's fun. It's good for this team. I don't know how good this team is going to be in 2018, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be an exciting one that Jets fans can, you know, take serious interest in and be proud of and, you know, enjoy rooting for. And I think a lot of that does start with the quarterback position, because, you know, you look at what McCown did last year, you know, on and off the field, built himself up as this locker room leader. He had a career year. I don't expect him to start under center for the entire year, but I think he's going to be the guy that opens up there. Darnold's obviously the future. We know that. But then you look at a guy even like Bridgewater, who I don't think is going to stick around with the team come the regular season, but he's somebody to really get behind and root for in training camp, in the preseason, you know, as other teams likely scout him and weigh their trade options. He's going to be somebody you want to root for even after he moves on, if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I think, you know, we touched on Bridgewater a lot on the site, and I agree with you. I think he'll be moved at some point. But with McCown essentially anointed the favorite heading into camp, do you think it's safe to say that a guy like Darnold and maybe Bridgewater to a lesser extent have to be somewhat perfect throughout camp and the preseason in order to win the starting job?
I think they do, and I think it's more just because not that they need to be perfect, but that the Jets don't need to rush. There's just no reason to. I mean, you brought McCown back to be not only a mentor, but also a stopgap. You know, he is the ultimate insurance policy at the quarterback position, especially when you know who your long-term answer is going to be. So, speaking more about Darnold than anything, yeah, I think he does have to be perfect to take that job because the Jets are in no rush. Would they throw him out there if he's ready, if he shows it? I think so, but they're gonna really make him go through the gauntlet to show that he is.
You know, no matter who's under center, there's a lot of talent at the skill position this year. I think it's been a really long time.
Also
the Jets have had. Yeah. The Jets have had the depth at running back and wide receiver that they do this year. Are there any players on those two positions that really intrigue you heading into camp that you're going to keep an eye on?
You talk about wide receiver, and they've obviously got two solid players in Jermaine Curse and Robbie Anderson. We saw that last year. They're expecting big things from Quincy Enunwa when he comes back. Terrell Pryor is going to be a question mark with his ankle. But the one guy I'm really excited about is Chad Hansen. And the reports out of training camp on him have been just phenomenal. And it makes you wonder where that guy was last year. But he was just a rookie. You know, some guys take a little bit of time to develop. And I think he's going to be a real weapon for them in the slot.
You know, one of the guys I really want to keep an eye on throughout campus might be surprising is Ordarius Stewart, because now with the news of the two-game suspension and the fact that he didn't really do much last year, he kind of finds himself in an interesting position, the fact that he was a third-round pick last year. If he doesn't turn in a successful preseason, and once the regular season rolls around, if he doesn't really do much, his time in New York could be up before he knows it.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned Hansen, and who was drafted a round later than him, but he was ahead of him on the depth chart by the end of the year last year. So Stewart's got a lot to play for. I don't know if he has to worry about getting cut outright. You know, I think being a third round pick only a year ago, Maccagnan would be happy to stash him on the practice squad once he comes back if there's no room for him. But, you know, to the gist of what you're saying, yeah, this is a guy whose future in New York is in trouble, and he hasn't even started his second year.
You know, there's all this depth at wide receiver in the pen. There's so much hype surrounding the passing game. But what about the tight end position? You know, that's a big question mark. Deferring Jenkins goes to the Jags in the offseason, which, you know, the Jets could have kept him around if they wanted to, and McCaffrey felt the price wasn't right. But you got Jordan Leggett, you got Christopher Herndon, Eric Tomlinson. Like, it's not really the most attractive name for a position battle.
Now, this is classic Jets. This, you know, not having that go-to option. And, you know, even last year, I think Austin Seferian Jenkins was a little bit of a surprise once he came back. But it's going to be interesting to see how that position shakes out. It's funny. I think the biggest lock at the position group is Eric Tomlinson to make the team as a backup, just because he's such a skilled blocker. But I think the starting job is going to come down to Jordan Leggett and Chris Herndon, who, you know, essentially it's two rookies after Leggett played all but a few snaps last year.
You know, and Herndon and Leggett are such similar players. They make their money in the passing attack, not really as blockers. Who do you think has the upper hand heading into camp? I assume it would have to be Leggett, just given he's been in the league for a year and has a little bit of experience with New York.
Right. Well, I think having the familiarity with the playbook is definitely going to help him. And it's funny, I think Herndon is probably a more all-around skilled player. I think he's more versatile, but he's probably going to be facing league punishment pretty soon himself. So, again, that's just another edge for Leggett, and I see him getting the job to start the season.
You know, the offensive line really hasn't received much praise at all from anyone with their performance last season. Or is that another question mark for you heading into camp? There's some guys like Brian Winters who really need to stay healthy in order for this unit to be successful.
Yeah, you know, if that group stays healthy, I don't think it's the weakness that some people are making it out to be. I think, you know, people talk about, obviously, Winters was hurt last year. You didn't have any production from Wesley Johnson at center. He's been replaced by Spencer Long now. James Carpenter showed some signs of decline last year, but I think that was all more because you didn't have a healthy Winters. You didn't have a productive center. And, you know, obviously that's going to take its toll on the rest of the line. And we saw that particularly with Carpenter last year. I think if that's a healthy unit, I don't see why it can't be an effective one either. So I'm not as skeptical of the guys in the trenches as everyone else seems to be. But, you know, it's a long season, and especially in the NFL, injuries are bound to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not as skeptical as some people are. But when it comes to the defensive line, I am skeptical. I've said this before, I'll say it again. It's Leonard Williams, Steve McClendon, and everyone else. How do you think that rotation at that other defensive end spot, do you think it's going to hurt New York's front seven this season?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, for reasons that, you know, nobody's really given a good answer to, the Jets just continue to ignore the defensive line and the pass rush. And, you know, I think they've been bargain shopping. I mean, that's what Henry Anderson is, and, you know, he might very well turn out to be a good player, but it's bargain hunting. Even a guy like Nathan Shepard, bargain hunting. I mean, the Jets had a ton of money to go out and really fix this position, and just didn't. And, you know, there's still some time left before the season. I wouldn't be shocked if they went out and made a move. Dante Fowler in Jacksonville is one name that I'm sure is on Mike Maccagnan's wish list. But it's probably the weakest part of this team right now.
You know, the thing is, with Maccagnan's approach to addressing the defensive line this offseason, it seemed like once DeMarcus Lawrence and Ezekiel Ansah signed their franchise tag tenders, that was it for him. Those were
right.
Plan A and Plan B. And once those players were off the board, he's like, oh, okay, we'll wait for the draft and we'll see if we can pick up on waiver wires and late-round trade.
No, I agree with you. It definitely seems like that was his mindset, and I guess that tells you what he thinks of the overall free agent class outside of those two guys that you mentioned. But it's whatever case you want to make for him or defense you want to make for him. I mean, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, as training camp is now here, this is not a strong unit.
No, and it becomes even worse when you look at the outside linebacker position. You have Jordan Jenkins, who's a solid player, but he needs some help. He can't do it all himself, rushing off the edge.
Yeah, having Josh Martin or David Bass there full time, that's
not going to work.
Probably not going to work out too well for Gangrene.
Frankly, I don't even think Bass is going to make the team in the end. We're going to have a 53-man roster position coming out tomorrow. I worked on it, first edition. And I don't have Bass making the team. I think New York's going to take a very interesting approach to the linebackers position, because both Kevin Minter and Kevin Pierre-Louis, they do have a little bit of experience playing on the outside, so maybe they could make some sort of an impact in the role. But they've played inside linebacker for the duration of their NFL career. Their experience at the outside positions were in college. I don't know what they're going to be able to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see what you're saying with the flexibility there, and then also just keep in mind, you know, at safety position, you got two flexible guys, and J.J. Wilcox and Jamal Adams. So I could see Bowles kind of having some fun with that when it comes time to put his schemes together, but also set his roster. I see where you're going there.
Yeah, Bowles is such a creative guy. We all know he loves to get fancy with his scheme, but he has to be banging his head against the wall, man. Like, year after year, he has no help in the pass rush.
He can only work with what he's given.
Exactly. And, you know, you're talking about working what he's given. Oh, he has to be thrilled with what he has in the secondary heading into this year with you.
That's a different story. Johnson is, I mean, I think if Bowles could build a cornerback in a lab, it would be Trumaine Johnson.
Yeah.
Physical, press coverage, I mean, a true shutdown guy. I don't want to say he's, you know, the new Darrelle Revis in New York, but he's the best thing that the Jets have had since Revis was in his prime.
And then you have, on the back end, Jamal Adams and Marcus Smith. They're really nearing that next step to becoming elite safeties in this game.
I think they're going to be the best duo by the end of the year.
Definitely.
I think the Jets are going to have one of the best secondaries in the NFL by the end of the year. And I'm just going back to Johnson for a minute. The fact that he's there to be the number one and take away the other team's best receiver, that really puts Maurice Claiborne in a tremendous position to succeed. And he was good last year when he was healthy, and now he doesn't have to even worry about the other team's top target. I think he's going to have a huge year if he can stay on the field.
And, you know, even at the safety position, if something happens to Adams or May, they have a guy like J.J. Wilcox who's just going to step in and is just going to go right with the flow. He has so much experience as a starter in this league. He's a pro's pro, and Bowles has to be thrilled with that addition.
Him, Terrence Brooks as well. I mean, starters and backups, there's no unit on the Jets that is better off right now than that secondary.
100%. And, you know, with the arrival of Wilcox, once Rontez Miles returns, what do you think that means for his future with the team? Could Miles be kind of behind the eight ball once he gets back?
It could. It could very well mean that. It's going to be a tough decision for them to, you know, they're going to obviously cross when they get there. You never know what's going to happen by that point. For all we know, Miles ends up being out for the rest of the season,
yeah,
or somebody else gets hurt in the meantime. But, keep in mind, he's been essential on special teams over the last few years. So if everybody is healthy when he gets back, it's going to be a tough decision.
Yeah, recently, in the past couple of weeks on the side, we've talked a lot about the roster bubble. That has brought up Miles as maybe a guy who won't have a spot once he returns. Are there any other players right now heading into training camp that you think really need to show out in order to secure a spot and not get cut?
Lorenzo Malden's at the top of my list.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really got to have a strong camp and prove that he almost has to win he's almost playing strictly for the starting position.
Yep.
Just because there's so many other guys that are fighting for that spot that are so meh. And we brought up Martin and Bass before that, you know, he's got to show that he can give something different, something, you know, more than just mediocre or average or, you know, a body. And what we've seen from him when healthy in his career, I don't know that he's that guy.
I think one guy who really needs to watch himself this summer is Buster Skrine. With everything last season, with all the penalties and just getting beat pretty consistently. Don't get me wrong, he turned it on at the end of the year, though. He turned in some pretty solid performances.
Well, once he got moved back,
himself.
Once he moved inside, he was better. He can't. He's too small to play.
Exactly.
Outside.
Yeah, he was miscast last season, and it really painted him in a negative light. But hey, this kid Perry Nickerson could play if he comes into camp and has just standout day after standout day. I think Scream might be in a little bit of trouble.
That's what you're thinking?
Yeah, I mean, just because, you know, Nickerson is younger, he might be better ball skill-wise than Skrine. Because Skrine, you know, he's more of a stick-with-the-kind of guy and just prevent the play from ever happening. Nickerson's more adept at jumping the passing lane. You saw it in his career at Tulane. Skrine might. I think he's going to win the job. He'll be on the team week one, unless they somehow trade him.
Skrine's a, you know, give him a bear hug because you fell behind in coverage type of guy.
Get a flag.
But no, in all seriousness, I agree with you. I do think he's going to be on the team once the season starts. But I do expect Nickerson to push him and get some playing time this season. He's going to be fun to watch.
Do you think there are any other rookies out of this year's draft class other than Nickerson, the likes of Darnold, who will see the field at some point, that could really surprise and make a really big impact?
If I had to pick somebody that wasn't Darnold or Nickerson, I would go with Shepard. But even that, I'm not super high on, just because there's going to be such a learning curve for him coming out of D2. I mean, maybe just because of the frequency of opportunities he'll get on that line with all the holes it has. But I don't know. I think there's some developing to do in this draft class.
Yeah, I was a fan of the draft class as a whole, but like you just said, this was a really developmental class. These aren't instant impact type guys who started SEC schools for 4 years.
When the consensus number one quarterback falls to you at number three, it takes hold of the perception of the entire class.
Yeah.
You know, one can do no wrong after that.
Exactly. I was actually just about thinking about asking you that. Do you think the Darnold pick at number three, what do you think the thought process would have been when evaluating this draft class if Darnold wasn't their guy at number three? Do you think the Cagney would be catching a little heat?
I mean, I guess it depends on who they would have gotten. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so, just because they needed to take a quarterback in this draft. And trading up to number three, it guaranteed them at least two choices. So I always thought that was the right move, and you know it just turned out to be a spectacular move because they got the guy that they thought they were never going to get.
You know, and look, tomorrow could be the beginning of something really special for this team heading into 2018. It could be the beginning of maybe a run in the playoffs. Who knows how the season breaks? You know, they surprised us last year. They could very well do it again with a lot more talent this year.
I wouldn't be shocked if this team made the playoffs as a wild card team. I don't think they will. I still think there are just a few too many holes on the roster still, but I expect them to hang around, that's for sure.
I think an X factor in making that happen is going to be Darren Lee in the middle of the defense. I think if he could really keep that group together and help them dominate games, they could be there right till the end.
He's going to have a big year, I think. I think this is the year he really puts it together. I don't think Todd Bowles would have given him the responsibility as the play caller if he hadn't seen something, at least off the field, let alone on it. So I think that's a group, that's a duo right there that a lot of people aren't paying enough attention to, that aren't excited about enough, is Lee and Avery Williamson. I think that's going to be a fun inside linebacking core.
It's a fun athletic duo that could get out on pass coverage, too. They're not just limited to run stopping.
Nope, not at all.
You know, and we'll do predictions later on, like before the season kicks off, but with
too
camp
early.
Starting tomorrow, yeah, it's way too early. You have any bold predictions for the first week of camp?
For the first week
of camp? Anything crazy going to go down?
Anything crazy? No. you know what? Just the opposite. I'm going to say with these new vibe Jets where, you know, everything is hopeful and exciting and, you know, joyful, I'm going to predict that nothing crazy happens or goes wrong in the first week of camp.
Which is very atypical, but it's
this new Jets wave that we're on.
And on that note, guys, that's all we have for you. This is a great first episode. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to doing some more with you, Gary. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Me? So I'm at Gary H. Phillips on Twitter. And then you can find my work, of course, at JetsWire, but also Sporting News, The Athletic, Locked On Yankees. You'll be able to find this podcast on JetsWire and on my social media accounts as well. And then, Tyler, where can we find you, the host of JetsWire's new podcast?
Same, dude. You can find me on Twitter at Tyler_Calvaruso. I tweet out all my work. A lot of the stuff I do with 247 is behind a paywall, so unfortunately you guys won't be able to read that. But the stuff I do at JetsWire is worth a read. I would definitely recommend it. I don't know about you, Gary, but
I'd say so. I had a Tyler every night. sometimes it's really late at night because he's not so great with time management, but he's pretty good though. So, and hopefully you guys thought this podcast was pretty good. So thanks for tuning in.
Yep. As Gary said, guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back at it next week.